Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Running with 15 seconds, and it's 3rd and 26. They have one timeout left. You better hurry.
No.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play. Incomplete, and the game is over. Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
But at the end of the day, we just came up short too many times. We had to make a change. I was proud of the progress that we made from year one to year two, but disappointed we weren't able to stay on that track in year three.
And now it's time for Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, what an open. It's Trista Crick here, as you heard from the intro, done by my man Robbie Triano on the ones and twos. I'm here till 9. We've got a loaded show for you at 7:40. We've got Bears beat reporter Nicholas Moriano, who will break down all of the chaos at Hollis Hall for us. I've got a lot of questions for him, including, like, what's the prerequisite for a head coach for the Chicago Bears? Like, I think we're not really getting into that enough, because there's a lot of speculation about really what the right type of coach is, and we'll go into that. Second hour, we've got Pro Football Focus's Trevor Sikkema. He's going to give us an overview from the national perspective of the Bears. And it's a loaded show overall, baby. Call in number 312-644-6767. Drop me a line. So I just need to get into this. By now, we've heard from everyone on The Score about how the Bears ended up firing the Flus. I've been talking about Flus on the hot seat. This felt like it was imminent before Hard Knocks. Like pre-haircut, this felt like an inevitability. If it happened after the Patriots game, I don't think anyone would have been surprised. Like, if it happened after me and Robbie were there with our own two eyes, watching that inexplicable decision not to run the ball again and get that field goal blocked against the Packers, if it would have happened then, we wouldn't have been shocked. The season has gone sideways, and that was clear. Like, we saw DJ Moore sitting on the bench after the game by his lonesome. We've seen the memes. We've seen the gifs. This was, like, clear many weeks ago. So now we're all on to this whole, like, what's next? What's the future? Who's the next head coach going to be? What's up with Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren? Like, has Ryan Poles been somehow, like, demoted? Does he have any power? But, like, the question that I don't think anyone's talking about enough is, like, do we trust the Bears to do any of this right? Do we trust them? Do you have confidence in this team to make any of the right decisions at this point? Because I've done a little digging, and this statistic is shocking. It is I don't even think Robbie knows this. Since 2021, cumulatively, over the past 3.5 years, who is the worst team in the NFL?
Who? Based on this, I'm going to have to say the Chicago Bears.
It's the Bears, Robbie. It's the Bears. And it's actually not even close. 20 wins since 2021. The Jets and Giants have 21. The Jets and Giants.
That's not good company you want to be with.
No. Chicago has scored the third fewest points during that stretch. Can we trust them? For a franchise like, ooh, 85 Bears, we're so tough on defense. They've given up the sixth most points during that same stretch. Have the Bears done anything well cumulatively over that period of time? I don't think so. So I wonder, like, how much of this falls on the current administration in Hollis Hall? Do we trust Ryan Poles, given the head coaching search that ended with, drum roll, the Foose is loose? Do we trust the front office after the disastrous hire known as, which we already, listen, Jackson Smith and the Jigba told us on wax, hey, good luck with that Shane Waldron pick. Hey, are we live? Is this recording? I was just kidding. We knew then, like, this Shane Waldron move might not be so good. Did they do enough in free agency the past 4 seasons to give you fans confidence that this is a front office that will lead you anywhere to the championship? The trade with the Panthers was very savvy, but also very lucky, considering that you did not know that the Panthers were going to be the worst team in the NFL the following season. I don't think you can look at the past 4 years and say, this team has goodwill. I trust their decision-making process. And that starts from the top in the McCaskies. I think, is it a national conversation? Is it not happening on a local level? I just don't think that this is being discussed, because Ryan Poles took over in January 2022 from Ryan Pace, which was some dark years. Those were some dark years. Going 6-11, and he got fired, Ryan Pace, for going 6-11. And then Ryan Poles goes 3-14 in his first season. Pace's Bears teams, by the way, were 48-68. Ryan Poles is the GM, 14-28. Much worse. Much worse. Yikes. And I don't think, like, because I think sometimes you look at big things and, like, that's the indicator. But to me, it's the small things as well that give you an indication, like, wee-oo, wee-oo. Like, I can't trust you. Your decision-making is suspect, right? So take last Friday, for example. I said this the other day to a friend. How in the world do you allow your head coach to go on his weekly Zoom call saying he feels confident he's going to stay on as the head coach and then fire him not 2 hours later after he speaks to the press? How do you do that? Things, and I know what Kevin Warren said. We weren't sure yet. Like, maybe you want to prolong things. Maybe you want to just push it back a little bit. Things like that. Allowing Flus to go in front of the world and make a fool out of himself and then fire him, that does not inspire confidence that this brain trust in charge makes competent decisions. That move in itself made me say, wow, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is a brain trust that I trust. And furthermore, and we'll talk about this later in terms of head coaching candidates, I don't know if I'm a hotshot head coaching candidate, whether I trust them either, right? Here's another small thing. So we think about, like, like the ownership in charge taking their hands off the wheel, how important that is. James Dolan taking his hands off the wheel for the New York Knicks organization and them really succeeding. A change in ownership in Washington and how things have turned around there. A change of ownership in Detroit with the Lions and how things turned around there. So, like, you might say, oh, well, Trista, They fired their head coach and their offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. This is unprecedented. We can tell that the McCaskies are allowing new, fresh ideas to come in. But let's talk about Hard Knocks for a second, where ownership, this is insane. This is actually one of the most insane little things that I'm thinking about in terms of like, oh, I don't trust you. Hard Knocks had to cut pieces out of the show and not air things because there was cursing in those segments. The McCaskies said, we don't want to be associated with profanity. So we want you to do things differently than any other Hard Knocks that we've ever seen. That's how much they're holding on to the wheel. We're talking about no curse words on an HBO program. To me, that's a bit odd. I don't know if it's odd to you, but I'm a bit puzzled by that. Let me redline this harsh fact. The Bears have won 23 of their last 73 games. That is by far the worst in the NFL during that stretch. When over the last 4 years, you are collectively, your work, your body of work is the worst in your sport, in your field. I personally don't think that that sport, that company, that team should get the benefit of the doubt. Not even a little bit. So I don't know if I, like, we can talk about head coaches, and we will, who's like the leading candidate in the clubhouse, who's the best fit, and we'll do that. But like, broad strokes, do we know that this group is capable of finding that head coach? We've seen some very weird decisions in the past in terms of head coaches that have been hired and head coaches that were available when those other, like John Fox, puzzling coaches got hired. And what it makes me more difficult to trust in the Bears is it's not really clear who's calling the shots. Like, where did Kevin Warren come from? Like, why is he now starting to assert his dominance and control and having a 10-minute monologue in the beginning of a press conference? Why is he in a suit and Ryan Poles is in a sweatsuit? Like, maybe want to get on the same page here. Like, is it Ryan Poles? Is he in charge? We watched Hard Knocks this whole time, saw Poles in action, you know, pulling the strings, getting the DJ Moore extension done. Is he a lame duck? Kevin Warren says, out of nowhere, he's not going to get fired. He's staying. I got confidence in him. Anytime someone says, hey, that person's not going to get fired, they're preemptively signaling that thoughts of firing has been swirling around either their head or your head, and they want to address them. And then later, Kevin Warren said, Ryan Poles is going to have the final say on the new coach, very begrudgingly. Then before that, he was like, oh, we're going to play it by ear. We're going to play it by ear? Are you serious? Does that mean that if Ryan Poles were to get fired for some reason, does that mean that the coaching search continues until the new GM is hired? All these are questions that give me serious pause. Like, if I was one of y'all and I was a lifelong Bears fan, I would be kind of panicking a little bit in terms of like, this is the most crucial moment. We have the quarterback. He's clearly our guy, right? So now we need to get this right more than ever, and we can't have a head coach a la Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa. We can't have a coach that stunts the development or limits the development of our franchise quarterback now, because we finally have one. I don't know what to make of this team, and I don't know whether I can feel confident that even if they get the hire right, that hire will have the agency to be able to make the decisions as he sees fit as well. So to me, what do the Bears need to do to right the ship? There's a lot of debate about this right now, but it's clear that the Bears front office have somewhat of a clear idea of what they want. And like, a lot of those things are what they said exactly about Matt Eberflus. Again, I just don't know how much I trust that. This is what Kevin Warren said. We need an individual who has high standards, who is tough, who is demanding, who is bright, who has attention to detail, who will seek and win championships. These are a big list. who creates an environment of accountability, who's creative. Like, this is a wish list, and I get it. Like, but, dog, did you write this out? Are you just listing? Is this a grocery list? I am telling you, front offices have gone crazy over the whole Dan Campbell thing. But, like, this leader of men thing, it's not always worked out well. Like, ask Mike Singletary, you know? That did not work out. Leslie Frazier, Jim Tomsula, Bill O'Brien, Jack Del Rio. Come on. These are Matt Patricia. These are leaders of men, right? Mike Vrabel, leader of men, said he would cut off his eggplant for a Super Bowl. Leader of men, right? Tough guys who fail. Tough guy, Ron Rivera, rah-rah, leader of men. I don't know. And then there's guys like Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, who are like, kind of look like accountants, and then they're killing it. Are they not leaders of men just because they don't look like our version of what like a tough guy, masculine head coach should be? There's more than one way to skin a cat here. Andy Reid doesn't look like he's a leader of men. And what is he doing? Just winning? All he does is win because he found his franchise quarterback and that was the end. So to me, what direction will the Bears go is going to tell us a lot. They once looked to the Canadian Football League to fill their coaching position. And then they took a guy who was fired 4 days previously, right? And John Fox. So all of that to say, I don't have faith. Call me skeptical, call me leery, call me a little gun-shy. But given the history of this franchise and some of the decisions, not only that they've made past, but like just the other day, I'm very, very worried. And President of Football Operations, Kevin Warren, said that this is the most attractive opening in the NFL. If you don't trust the franchise, how attractive is it? Or is it so messy that some coaches might want to stay away? What do you guys think? Call me, 312-644-6767. Is this the most attractive job in the NFL? What is the prerequisite for a head coaching candidate for the Chicago Bears? We've got Nick Moriano to talk about that right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This will be the most coveted job in the National Football League this year. And Ryan and I need to work hand in hand together to make sure we bring that to life, not only from a head coach standpoint, but also from an entire staff standpoint.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I love how it was like, yeah, this were the most coveted place for head coach in the NFL. We've got great fans. We've got a great stadium. Like, no mention really of the fact that you've got a dynasty franchise altering quarterback in Caleb Williams. But we want to talk about that with Bears beat reporter Nicholas Moreno at CHGO Bears, also a DePaul graduate. Just wanted to welcome you to the show. What's up, Nick? How are you?
I'm doing well, Trista. How are you?
I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, you fire your offensive coordinator midseason, first time in the history of the Bears. First time head coach gets hired midseason as well. As someone who covers this team, do you see that as a sign of good things to come? Or is that a sign that something was so bad that something needed to be done so drastically that it was historic?
That's a great question, Trista, but I think it's a sign of hopeful change to come for this organization because, obviously, like you said, it's the first time the Bears have ever done that, but it needed to be done. You couldn't have Matt Eberflus lose you another game in a traumatic fashion or Shane Waldron, you know, continue to show bad signs for, you know, your rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. I look at it as a sign of change that hopefully the Bears are – turning this thing around and looking for the future. Like you said, Kevin Warren thought this is one of the most coveted jobs in the NFL or will be. And you need to get rid of those two in place to hopefully get some, you know, legitimate shots at getting this thing restored here.
When you watched that press conference yesterday with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles, obviously Kevin Warren in the suit, Ryan Poles in the sweatsuit, like what were some of the thoughts that ran through your mind as a Bears beat reporter and as a longtime fan?
Yeah, I think first off, I mean, you were kind of poking fun at it, but like Kevin Warren, one of the first assets he said about this Bears organization being one of the coveted jobs is, you know, they have great fans. I'm sure every NFL fan base has great fans and has great tradition, but they also have this promising young quarterback. So to hear that kind of almost down the list of things for what makes this a nice destination for a potential new head coach, it rubs me the wrong way, I would say. But also just hearing what Kevin Warren is looking for in a head coach, there are just some key things that he mentioned. One who is demanding, who has attention to detail, creates an environment of accountability, is a decisive decision maker, the anti-Flus. Right, you're looking for everything that Flus wasn't here in his time with the Bears, and I think those are going to be obviously characteristics that whoever they end up hiring is going to match those things because they really need to get that right in terms of having that leader of men that they talk about.
Did you feel like it when you watched Ryan Poles sit there kind of blank-faced? Is that a sign of anything to you, or is that just a sign of somebody who's listening to his boss talk for 10 minutes?
You know, to me, when I did, because it was every time we, you know, heard from Ryan Poles, he maybe sometimes accompanied by Ian Cunningham, and Ryan Poles dominates those press conferences every single time, and most of the questions are to him. So it was a different, I guess, power dynamic with knowing that, hey, Kevin Warren is here. He is your boss. And I think, too, for Ryan, coming into this season, I'm sure he had envisioned something completely different. And having this press conference, even in the first place, was, you know, not a shock, but it was like an eye-opener that this is what happens when things do go wrong. He doubled down on Matt Eberflus, you know, going into this season. And look, now there's still 5 games left in 2024. So I think for Ryan Poles, it was a little eye-opening. But also, when you have Kevin Warren there, we know that Ryan Poles is the point person, but it's clear as day that Kevin Warren is going to have a huge influence on this head coaching search, and obviously has a lot of power within the organization.
Do you think Ryan Poles' job is in danger in any way?
You know, it was interesting to hear, you know, Kevin, like, deliberately mention, like, for everyone who doesn't know, like, Ryan Poles is a general manager. Like, if he's a general, you shouldn't have to say that, right? But I do, right now, I feel like his job is safe. And, you know, I think he'll get an opportunity, obviously, to hire another head coach. But I think this is his last shot. If this next head coach doesn't work out, then if you're Ryan Poles, you're probably looking for a new job afterwards if things just don't go the right way. But for right now, I think his job is safe.
So there's a lot, like you said, that Kevin Warren mentioned that they're looking for in a head coach. A lot of words, a lot of discipline, accountability, but leader of men. For you personally, what do you think the prerequisites are to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears? Because it feels like to me one of the main ones that was not discussed is developing a franchise altering quarterback. And some of these head coaches that have emerged as candidates don't really have great experience doing that or a great track record of doing that.
Yeah, for me, Trista, when I'm looking at the prerequisites of what these guys need to have, I look at just an offensive mind, to be completely honest. And I know there's some quality defensive coaches that could be, you know, good candidates, but I just look at how vital it is to get Caleb Williams to develop on a trajectory that's going to put him in a position to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So I look at these lists of candidates, and even the guy that they have in-house right now as Thomas Brown as being somebody that, yeah, he fits a lot of those things I was talking about, what Kevin Warren's looking for, demanding. We see that in his press conferences, how he coaches his players, what the players have said about Thomas Brown, the attention to detail, decisive decision maker. Some of those things already fit Thomas Brown. So I'm looking at some of these offensive minded candidates. So if you're maybe looking at a Ben Johnson, you know, from Detroit, like that, I'm already looking at that guy in a more positive way that can help this franchise than I would maybe even like a Mike Vrabel. I get it. He's had head coaching experience, but I just need somebody that has a proven track record, who's shown that they can call offensive plays, get the most out of a quarterback, and produce on Sundays. And some obviously those offensive guys are going to be in that position more so than some of the defensive candidates. So I know that the Bears won't look at it that way. They're going to obviously hire the best person for the job, regardless of what side of the ball they coach. But for me, I would like to see them go in that direction of an offensive-minded coach that has a good track record and will ultimately get the most out of Caleb Williams.
Is there any head coaches that you've seen on the list of candidates that you're saying to yourself, woof, this really would give me great pause and concern if they went this direction?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, we're going to probably hear more and more names as time goes by, but even, you know, honestly, like a guy like Marcus Freeman, I know has been thrown out there, the name, but for a guy that, one, doesn't even have any NFL coaching experience, been in, obviously, the college game at Notre Dame as a head coach, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, defensive coordinator at Cincinnati, like, That's a lot of faith. If the Bears were to, let's say, go in that direction, that's a lot of faith you're putting into a guy that hasn't even entered in the NFL space as a coach. He's done some good things at Notre Dame, but man, like you need to know everything about him to ensure that you would go in that direction. Or even a guy in the defense coordinator in Detroit, Aaron Glenn. I get it. The Detroit Lions defense has done some really great things under him. He coaches with a passion. We've all seen on Hard Knocks and things like that. But it just he's not the offensive mind. I would so much rather go with a guy like Ben Johnson as opposed to an Aaron Glenn. But those are just two guys out of the list of the candidates so far that it would leave me scratching my head thinking, all right, this is the decision you're going to go with. Well, you better hope it's right.
Yeah, to me also, Brian Flores, you saw how that worked with Tua Tagovailoa. That, to me, just seems like a disaster in the making, no?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Brian has learned, you would hope has learned from maybe those previous mistakes with Tua. But, yeah, he does obviously have a great defensive mind and presents a lot of difficult situations for opposing offenses. But for him, how much has he learned since that experience to then apply it to another young quarterback if he is tasked with that? He would be, I think, out of the three guys that we were just talking about, I'd be most okay, I think, with him out of the other two that I just mentioned. But still, like, for me, it really is, I'm looking for that offensive mind to be here with Caleb for the long run. You don't have to worry about, you know, if the offense starts humming and is doing some really good things, that he's going to be, you know, off somewhere else because he's not the head coach. Like, if you have an offensive-minded head coach, you have that locked down with Caleb Williams for as long as they can continue to have success.
From what you're reporting is looking like, is the next five games really a true tryout for Thomas Brown? Like, are they actually considering removing the interim tag from him?
That's a good question, Tristan, because after the press conference, you know, I almost just listening back to it, reading the transcripts, there wasn't a lot of mention of Thomas Brown specifically, and I get it. There's a bunch of questions that need to be answered. My thing is, I hope it is, because this is going to give you an idea of what this guy is like in this head coaching position. Not just calling the plays and not going to be in the box, but down at the sideline, but also to when those late game situations inevitably happen, how does he handle it? How does he just handle all the game operations that come with being a head coach? Like, if you're the Bears, if you're Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, and you have Thomas Brown, who has shown some really good things with Caleb Williams in this offense, I know they haven't won games, but they've shown positive strides. Like, he should be getting a legitimate shot with this five-game trial here. And I think what would ultimately help them, not skew their reasoning for wanting to maybe hire Brown, but would definitely help is if you can get some wins here. Realistically, when you look at these past three NFC North matchups, the Bears were in all of them. The Bears should have beat Green Bay if it wasn't for a blocked field goal in overtime against Minnesota, should have gone to overtime against Detroit. Like, the Bears have the roster to compete. They've showed that. So if Thomas Brown not only can show that he's capable of handling the in-game situation, can get this team to have an identity, and you already said it flat out, that they're going to, you know, violence, right? They're going to play with violence. That's already stuck to some of the players. We've heard players talk about that. But win football games, even if it doesn't, you know, the Bears are not mathematically out, but they're basically out of the playoff race. If he could do that, like, he should be a legitimate candidate. And you would finally have some continuity with your quarterback not having to have changeover to a new head coach like all the other previous quarterbacks that have, you know, come and gone in recent years with the Bears.
Say the Bears make a coaching decision that we can kind of see pretty early on is not a home run hire. It is maybe a hire that, like Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas, could have been a little bit presumptuous. What do you think happens next?
Oh, man, so what happens next? Wouldn't it just be very Bears for them to kind of go down the same direction that they've always gone, where you don't hire maybe the best candidate? Maybe the McCaskies aren't willing to pay the money needed to get a Ben Johnson, so you get let's just throw a name like Cliff Kingsbury out there, which, again, not trying to knock him, but you don't get the best candidate, then you're probably looking at the cycle that the Bears have always been in, right? Where you hire the wrong head coach, you have talent on this roster, but you're wasting years of it because you haven't found the right guy. You fire the GM, you have the quarterback still here, new regime comes in, and like it's the turnover, it's the, you know, time is a flat circle here. It just keeps on continuing to go in the direction that the Bears have always been in. But I, again, going back to, you know, how this interview started, like they did fire the coach midseason. They did fire the offensive coordinator midseason. And hopefully that's just a sign of change that the Bears are not going to continue doing all the wrong mistakes that they've done for, you know, their past history.
You mentioned some of those fluky ways that the Bears have lost games this season. And I was looking back and I saw that over the past 4 years, the Bears cumulatively have the worst record in the NFL, 20 wins, and the Jets and Giants only have 21. I feel like the Bears don't get as much flack as a whole, as a team, like say the Commanders do, or say the Lions used to, or the Jets do. Do you think that like the Bears are getting cover and should be kind of seen in that same ilk as maybe like a slightly dysfunctional franchise from what you have seen?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think that when, you know, you have won as many games as you have in the recent years, which has been many, and you continue to turn quarterbacks over with new head coaches, you're not, look, you look at the NFC North right now, the Bears are the only one that's, you know, that with the record that they have, where all the other teams are looking to contend, like they definitely should be seen as a failing franchise right now. But you're hoping that Poles and with Caleb Williams and some of the pieces that they have, that they can change that narrative. But absolutely, they should be viewed as that type of team. I think, you know, for fans, you know, Bears fans, they probably see it that way. Maybe it's not as big on a national level, but for the people who, you know, go to these games on Sundays at Soldier Field or watch their beloved Bears every week, like, they know how hard it's been. You know, these losses and the way that they've lost this season, it just sums up what being a Bears fan is like. Like, that's Bears football. So I absolutely believe that, you know, if they don't change things around, like, just, you know, before Dan Campbell really turned around the Detroit Lions, they were a laughing stock. That's the Bears right now. As of right now, that is the Bears. But if, you know, all goes well, they find the right head coach. I think Caleb Williams has a lot of potential to be one of the better quarterbacks in this league. They can change it really quickly. That's the thing. Like, if they get the right head coach, they can change this around next season. Because this year, they have I think they had a roster to be a way better than what their current record reflects. So they can easily change this around, but you know, it all stems down to actually getting that right head coach.
Before I let you run, what are the Bears with a capable head coach next year? What do you think they are record-wise? How deep in the playoffs do you think they could go?
Man, with the right head coach, given that Caleb Williams will be in his second year, you'll still have a good amount of offensive weapons. I would assume they would beef up both sides of the offensive defensive line. Like, they can easily be in that 7 to 10 win range. I can see that with better coaching. Like, look, coaching lost you 3 games here. They're at that 7 mark already. So I do think they can easily be 7 to 10 wins in 2025. But again, goes back to getting that right guy at the head coaching position.
Awesome stuff. Thanks so much, Nick. Nick Moriano, Bears beat reporter for CHGO Bears couples coverage as well. Thanks so much for joining us, brother.
Thanks so much, Trista.
Are the Bears in danger of becoming the laughing stock of the NFL? Nick talked about it. We're going to discuss it more next, right after this.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Just had a great interview with Nicholas Moriano. If you missed any of that, you can jump on the Odyssey app and listen to it. Or grab it on the podcast feed, wherever you grab your podcasts. Let's go to the calls. We have Corey in Milwaukee. What's up, Corey?
You're here on The Score.
How's it going, Trista?
Hey.
I just wanted to call in. I listened to you before Nick's thing. You were just speaking so much truth. I had to jump on and call in. I see the organizational dysfunction of the Chicago Bears organization, and I always just go back to this is a real-life version of arrested development. This is a real-life version of dysfunction that we see, and it's manifests itself in many different ways where, like, they hire people who are like them, who are nice, who, you know, seem to work hard but really don't work smart. And that was the one thing that, you know, Kevin Warren talked about the other day. They show up every day. You know, they make a big show of being on time and all these things. But what do they really do? What do? They actually win, or do they actually, you know, do they compete? Are they accountable? And that's the thing is, you know, you have a bunch of Nepo babies running this organization that really have never faced any real accountability and really never faced any real adversity. And so because they grew up with a win in their checking account before they ever had to do anything, they really don't know how to really win in the game of life.
Good point, Corey. Wow, really good point. Nepo babies, didn't imagine hearing that today, but it's pretty fair. Our conversation also with Nick got me thinking, and Nick actually brought this up, and I'm so glad that he did. Are the Bears, and this goes into the dysfunction, are the Bears in danger of, maybe they already are, and we just don't know it. Like, I think maybe the disrespect that the Bears get in the national media in terms of not getting coverage is actually protecting them from being the laughingstock of the league. Like, maybe if we cared nationally about the Bears more, we would be laughing more. Like, we would be making fun of them more. But with Caleb Williams now at the helm, there's a lot more buzz around this team, obviously, Hard Knocks. But are the Bears in danger of becoming the laughingstock of the NFL? Because they are losing games in ways that I have not seen since the days of the good old 0-16 Lions, right? Like, it, one week it's a blocked field goal. The next, it's a botched timeout. Another, it's a Hail Mary while one of your defensive backs is like going off on the crowd. The past 4 years has been what you would kind of call a little bit of a clown show, right? And we've got now Kevin Warren saying that this is the best job in the NFL. And I just kind of am like, if you're the laughing stock of the NFL, I don't care how good your roster is, are you the most coveted, attractive job in the NFL?
So I'm going to push back a little bit here, because it's not like the next head coach is going to take over in a barren roster. Like, you are taking over with some good pieces. Like, you have DJ yes. Moore. You have these good other receivers, Roma Dunze, and you have Caleb Williams. I think this team with a head coach, a good head coach, an average head coach, with an average head coach, should be getting 8 to 9 wins every year.
Yes.
I think that should be happening. So I think it is a very attractive job. But I don't think it's as bad as it has been the last 4 years. I don't think a coach is going to go in reverse.
Certainly not. I agree with that. I just think maybe there's a little bit of lipstick on the pig here, because no matter how good a roster is, in my opinion, if there's a level of dysfunction and funk in terms of the power structure, which is what we have. We don't know who's in charge. Why, like, Kevin Warren came in and he's supposed to be negotiating the stadium deal, which is not done yet. And now all of a sudden he's kind of creeping his toes into the football operation side, which not exactly what you would call something that I feel confident in. Considering the fact that Jim Harbaugh would have absolutely loved to take the Chicago Bears job if it wasn't for the fact that he and Kevin Warren had squabbled it out when he was the head coach of Michigan, and Kevin Warren was the commissioner of the Big Ten, and it all kind of boils down to the fact that the pandemic season put Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat because Kevin Warren wanted to cancel the season, and they ended up with a shortened season instead. And so you look at a team that no matter how good they are in terms of the pieces, sometimes the organization can sort of wipe those good things away. It's definitely better than the Saints' job. It's definitely better than the Jets' job. It's even though there's no opening yet with the Jags, like I could kind of assume that that's going to happen. Like it's definitely better than the Jags' job. So in a sense, Kevin Warren is right, right? Like this is the most coveted job opening that will exist in the NFL. I just don't know if it's like, I don't know if we can say coveted, right? I think coveted kind of almost puts it a little bit, it's the most desirable job, but I don't know if I'm Ben Johnson, if I'm going to leave the Lions to go to a division rival and take over if I don't feel confident in this organization's decision-making structure. Maybe I want to wait for Zach Taylor to get fired in Cincinnati. Maybe I want to wait for the Ravens to have a change in leadership in Baltimore. We'll talk about that more because I want to break this down actually in terms of why we need to hold the Bears more accountable to the level of the Commanders and the Lions, et cetera, et cetera. But we got to pay some bills. So we'll be back right after this.